Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is fabulous, fantastic Friday, February 24th, 2012. I hope you are excited to be alive, because I tell you what, I am. I am thrilled. I can hardly sleep. This morning I woke up at, what was it, like 10 to 5, because I'm so excited about the vision of where I am headed in my life and where we are headed as a group on this call. I'll tell you, I can feel power pulsating through the lines. I can feel mental power. I can feel emotional power. I can feel spiritual power. I can feel economic power. If you are on this line this morning, which you are live now or you're listening into the replay, let me tell you a little bit, little something about who you are as a person. Somebody who would care enough to get up in the morning at maybe 6 a.m. Pacific time, 7 a.m. Mountain time, 8 a.m. Central, or 9 a.m. Over on the East Coast. Maybe you've already been up for a while, but you would care enough to pick up the phone and dial into a call in the hopes that you might hear an idea that would shift your thinking, that might get you on a different path, or maybe you dialed in the hopes that you could share an idea with somebody on the line. I'll tell you right now, you are a special type of individual, and I am thrilled to be on the line with you, and I am thrilled to think about the fact that we as a group of people have the potential to literally change the world as we shift our own minds, as we start to understand truths like we are people of power. We can select a definite major purpose. We can take action. We can learn to believe in ourselves. We can learn to have self-confidence. I mean, picture this, 1,000 people, let's say we get 1,000 people on these calls, and all of a sudden we've got, I mean, right now we've got almost 100 dialing into these calls every day. So imagine that, 100 people going out into the world with head held up high, shoulders back, confidence in themselves, confident in them, their abilities to go out and actually impact and inspire and lift up the people around them. Folks, that is a tremendous thing, and I believe that we are on a mission. We're on a mission to inspire entrepreneurs. We're on a mission to teach people that they have greatness within themselves. We're on a mission to teach people that they don't have to just lay down and accept whatever hand life deals them, that they can actually make a decision to make that decision that they can actually sculpt and shape the reality that they experience throughout this life. It's a powerful, powerful thing, and I hope you feel the excitement like I do, my friend. Today we're jumping into chapter 12 of The Science of Getting Rich, and this chapter is entitled Efficient Action. You must use your thought as directed in previous chapters and begin to do what you can do where you are, and you must do all that you can do where you are. You can advance only by being larger than your present place, and no one is larger than his present place who leaves undone any of the work pertaining to that place. The world is advanced only by those who more than fill their present places. If no one quite filled his present place, you can see that there must be a going backward in everything. Those who do not quite fill their present places are dead weight upon society, government, commerce, and industry. They must be carried along by others at a great expense. The progress of the world is slowed only by those who do not fill the places they are holding. They belong to a former age, and their tendency is toward degeneration. No society could advance if everyone was smaller than his place. Social evolution is guided by the law of physical and mental evolution. In the animal world, evolution is caused by excess of life. When an organism has more life than can be expressed in the functions of its own plane, it develops the organs of a higher plane and a new species is originated. There never would have been new species had there not been organisms which more than filled their places. The law is exactly the same for you. Your getting rich depends upon your applying this principle to your own affairs. Every day is either a successful day or a day of failure, and it is the successful days which get you what you want. If every day is a failure, you can never get rich, while if every day is a success, you cannot fail to get rich. If there is something that may be done today and you do not do it, you have failed insofar as that thing is concerned. and the consequences may be more disastrous than you imagine. You cannot foresee the results of even the most trivial act. You do not know the workings of all the forces that have been set moving in your behalf. Much may be depending upon your doing some simple act, and it may be the very thing which is to open the door of opportunity to very great possibilities. You can never know all the combinations which supreme intelligence is making for you in the world of things and of human affairs. Your neglect or failure to do some small thing may cause a long delay in getting what you want. Do every day all that can be done that day. There is, however, a limitation or qualification of the above that you must take into account. You are not to overwork, nor to rush blindly into your business in the effort to do the greatest possible number of things in the shortest possible time. You are not to try to do tomorrow's work today, nor to do a week's work in a day. It is really not the number of things you do, but the efficiency of each separate action that counts. Every act is in itself either a success or a failure. Every act is in itself either effective and efficient or ineffective and inefficient. Every inefficient act is a failure, and if you spend your time in doing inefficient acts, your whole life will be a failure. The more things you do, the worse for you if all your acts are inefficient ones. On the other hand, every efficient act is a success in itself. And if every act of your life is an efficient one, your whole life must be a success. The cause of failure is doing too many things in an inefficient manner and not doing enough things in an efficient manner. You will see that it is a self-evident proposition that if you do not do any inefficient acts, and if you do a sufficient number of efficient acts, you will become rich. If now it is possible for you to make each act an efficient one, you see again that the getting of riches is reduced to an exact science, like mathematics. The matter turns then on the question of whether you can make each separate act a success in itself, and this you can certainly do. You can make each act a success because all power is working with you, and all power cannot fail. Power is at your service, and to make each act efficient, you have only to put power into it. Every action is either strong or weak, and when every action is strong, you are acting in the certain way which will make you rich. Every act can be made strong and efficient by holding your vision while you are doing it and by putting the whole power of your faith and purpose into it. It is at this point that the people who separate mental power from personal action fail. They use the power of the mind in one place and at one time, and they act in another way in another place and at another time. So their acts are not successful in themselves. Too many of them are inefficient. But if all power goes into every act, no matter how commonplace, every act will be a success in itself. And since it is the nature of things that every success opens the way to other successes, your progress toward what you want and the progress of what you want toward you will become increasingly rapid. Remember that successful action is cumulative in its results. Since the desire for more life is inherent in all things, when a person begins to move toward larger life, more things attach themselves to him, and the influence of his desire is multiplied. Do every day all that you can do that day, and do each act in an efficient manner. In saying that you must hold your vision while you are doing each act, however trivial or commonplace, I do not mean to say that it is necessary at all times to see the vision distinctly to its smallest details. It should be the work of your leisure hours to use your imagination on the details of your vision and to contemplate them until they are firmly fixed upon memory. If you wish speedy results, spend practically all your spare time in this practice. By continuous contemplation, you will get the picture of what you want even to the smallest details, so firmly fixed upon your mind and so completely transferred to the mind of formless substance that in your working hours you need only to mentally refer to the picture to stimulate your faith and purpose and cause your best effort to be put forth. Contemplate your picture in your leisure hours until your consciousness is so full of it that you can grasp it instantly. You will become so enthused with its bright promises that the mere thought of it will call forth the strongest energies of your whole being. Let us again repeat our syllabus and by slightly changing the closing statements, bring it to the point which we have now reached. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made and which in its original state permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in this substance produces the thing that is imaged by the thought. A person can form things in his thought, and by impressing his thought upon formless substance, can cause the thing he thinks about to be created. In order to do this, a person must pass from the competitive to the creative mind. He must form a clear mental picture of the things he wants and must do with faith and purpose all that can be done each day, doing each separate thing in an efficient manner. It may seem simple. We read these words and we think to ourselves, well, how simple is that? But do you know that this actually is a difficult concept for many people to grasp and understand? You know, some people might say to themselves, well, I know why Melvin's successful. It's because he's just, you know, he's got all these skills and all of these things at his disposal, and he knows how to do this and he knows how to do that, whereas I don't. Well, the reality is Melvin is thinking in a certain way, and he's also performing his actions in a certain way. And if you learn to think like Melvin or Doc Fran or any of the other people that we look up to, if you learn to think like they do and you learn to do the things that they are doing in the way that they are doing, why do you think sometimes it's important to have live calls where you can dial in and listen to how somebody talks to other people about your business, the business that you're engaged in? It's so that you can look and analyze, okay, how is this person performing this action? This person who's having success in their business, what are they doing? And you can actually pick up the phone and listen and hear the words they're saying and hear how they're saying those words. And it's a simple fact. If you can learn to think like they do, feel like they do, and say the words in the way that they say them, it is science. It's a scientific inevitability that you will be successful. So simple thoughts, but you know what? There's so much power in this chapter. I love it. As I'm reading through this, I'm thinking to myself, this is so true, and if I can understand this on a fuller level, you know, would it be possible for me to make $100,000 a month? Well, initially, I think, well, heavens no, there's no way. I mean, I when I first started out, I could only see $3,000 a month residual income. That was my goal. Well, if I could get to know somebody who has earned seven figures in a month, six figures in a month. If I could get to know somebody who has earned $100,000 in a month, if I could learn to think like that person, and if I could learn to do the things that they did or do in the way that they did or do them, is it then possible that I could make $100,000 a month? Well, according to this information we're reading today, absolutely, it's a matter of science. So, great information. I'm excited to hear the discussion. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. All right, *6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear from you.
Hey, Paul, Mike Nelson.
Hey, Mike. Good morning.
How are you? Hey, you're talking about duplication in your efforts.
Yes.
Duplicating your efforts from leaders. Leaders that are... that you look up to, you want to duplicate your efforts in how they do it, what they do, as far even the same air they breathe. Who knows? Whatever it takes, You have to think, you have to act, and you have to do the way the leaders do it. That's how you're going to be successful.
That's a great point. It's a great point, and it's one of the reasons that we all on this call hopefully are serious students of the book Think and Grow Rich, because what did Napoleon Hill do? He studied, I'm sure it was over 500 of the wealthiest people in the world, and he comprised a formula that was common to all of them. Well, one of the things that was common is they all had a definite major purpose. They all had faith. Napoleon taught us how to develop that faith. We visualize and we repeat our definite major purpose in the self-confidence formula on a daily basis. That's what Mr. Waddles is talking about here, finding out what other people are doing and doing it. Great points. Duplication. Appreciate that, Mike.
Yep.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, Melvin.
One of the things that a person can do, you know, some people are all confused and all because they're trying to do too many things at one time and you can't. That's what confusion comes from, because you're not focusing on one thing, getting it done and going to the next. But let's say you have 1,000 things to get done, and we do have 1,000 things. There's just some of them are large and some are small. We don't have to focus on those 1,000 things if you just learn certain principles. Like, let's say you learn 4 or 5 principles that you implement in your life. Now you can take care of all 1,000 of those things because of certain principles that you guide your life by. And so when we get an opportunity, we should write down some very simple, basic things and keep studying those things and live by those things, and it'll take care of everything for us. And I just want to give you a couple of them real quick. One is, anything worth doing is worth doing well, or don't do it. And if we start applying that if I'm going to do this, do the best job I can do of it, or don't do it at all. That's one of the things that we can do. The other thing, too, as far as success is concerned, if you just find someone who's successful, grab a hold of their coattail, and every step they take, you take. And that's an easy way to become successful. Just do what they do. And then the last one, I kind of think you touched on this. Well, it's not a last one, but another one, is that if you're driving, you don't wait for all the lights to become green before you move. The only light that needs to become green is that one that you're sitting at. The others will take care of themselves as you go. So if I do the best I can do right here, right now, the rest is going to take care of itself. Back to you, Paul.
Melvin, very, very, very powerful points that you've shared with us. Find someone that's successful and grab onto their coattails. I hope everyone on the line realizes that's the only thing that I've done in my life to have some of the success that I'm currently enjoying. I've sought out people who are doing things that I wanted to learn how to do, and I really have studied them, and I've looked for principles that I can take from what they're doing and apply them into my life. So very powerful. And that last thing you said, Melvin, don't wait for all the lights to become green, because if you do, you'll never move, you'll never take action, and the lights will never be all green. They never, ever will. So like Wallace is saying in this book, you've got to take action now, even though you might not be able to see how it's all going to turn out in the end. Great thoughts, Melvin.
Hi, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Tom in Connecticut.
Tom, hey. Good morning.
How are you? Just before I came on the call today, I was looking at a video a friend sent to me on YouTube. It's the name of it is Jeff Olson, The Slight Edge. And the gist of it was, he said there's two kinds of people in the world. There's the gee, I'm glad I did, and there's the darn, I wish I had. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it really comes down to that. You know, it's like people who take action are going to be happy in the end that they did. And the people who always make excuses and say that it can't be done are going to look back and they're going to, you know, the person who does what he wants to do is going to be one of the, gee, I'm glad I did. And the people who don't are the darn, I wish I had. And that's going to be what they're going to think, you know, and how they're going to feel for the rest of their life. He goes through like three different stages, and I would recommend if anybody wants to look at it. Again, it's Jeff Olson, The Sledge. It's on YouTube.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. That's a great book, The Slight Edge, and you're absolutely right. You're either going to be glad you did, or you're going to be sorry that you didn't. Very, very true statement there.
Good morning, my friends.
Hey, Rick. Good morning.
Man, what an incredible call. What a fantastic call. You know, I look forward to this. I've been up several hours, just to let you know. I just can't wait for these mornings to get going and listen to everybody growing. That's the key. But I want to tell you something with some mathematical certainty, because whether you know it or not, or realize it or not, this is one of the greatest hours you have in the day on this call in the morning. But I want to say this. It's a lot easier to think about negative things, okay? It's a lot easier. That's why only 3% of the people make it. In any country, it doesn't matter where you are. So here's the thing. If you leave from this call and the social impact that this call has, which is very powerful, but you go somewhere and you get 10 minutes of negative, it will wipe this call out. I want to say that to you because sometimes if people are working in an environment where it's not an environment generally that people want to see you grow, that will rip you apart. I don't know if you realize that, but that's why the way the system works and how people in general are going to see you grow. That is killing you. I want to tell you that you're taking a step forward and two step backward. You got to protect your mind. Really, when you leave this call today, do everything you can to protect your mind. That's pretty much what I want to say because it's so important. If you find yourself not getting somewhere, it's because you're not protecting your mind. The social impact that we will have on you, okay? It is so powerful, it's not even funny. That is mathematical. You cannot escape it.
Hey, Rick.
That's pretty much what I want to say this morning, yes.
I really appreciate that, and I got to share something to piggyback on that I learned from one of my good new friends, Todd. This individual is a 21-year veteran in the industry, very, very successful, and I was talking to him the other day, and he said, Paul, you know, some people think that you've got a devil on your left shoulder and an angel on your right shoulder, you know, telling you can do this and the ones telling you can't do that. And he goes, in reality, the way that it needs to be is you've got to have a Paul on your left shoulder with a machine gun and a Paul on your right shoulder with a rocket launcher. And both of those dudes got to be watching out for any single negative thing that comes anywhere near you and blowing that stuff clear out of your world. And I thought, you know, that's a great visual. So just to piggyback on what you were saying there, Rick.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Yeah, what both of you had to say is so profound because until you have done this, till it becomes you, you're vulnerable to exactly what you're talking about. And I find that many of us get it right where we are. It could be your spouse. It could be a people that were your friends. I mean, they're your friends of yours because you drink together, you smoke together, you curse together, and so you fit together. And once you go to change that, you know, that's you're threatening that friendship. So, yes, you do have to be guarding that at all times. That's why I like that little thing that I seen when I seen Lost in Space, and he would say, does not compute, and he started realizing there's certain things that are just unacceptable. Back to you, Paul.
I love that, too. That's another great way to do it, Melvin. Somebody says something negative, or you have a thought to where you say, I can't do it, does not compute. Or somebody, what was the other one? Somebody gives you some positive feedback, thank you, want more, something like that. I love it.
Hey, Paul, it's Joy.
Hey, Joy.
Just a little thing I do when I I you know, we tend to try to argue our point, and of course it's pointless. So I just look at him, I go, huh, your opinion, gotta go. And I just move on, because I don't want their opinion. I want to be on the right track. So if they're going to take me down, their opinion, gotta go. That's it.
Yep. That is fantastic, and that is definitely something that we all should do. Yeah, thank you, Joy, for sharing that. How did your event go last night?
I'm building new relationships, and you know, you kind of worry all day that you have to get up and give this presentation, and you're a little nervous. And then she says, "Okay, hurry up. You have 30 seconds. Tell your name and your business." I'm like, "Wow." Where did that go? I worried all day for that. It was very nice. It was other networkers and building those relationships, and we passed your number around so that we can get them on your call.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you. And that's what it's all about, building those relationships. It's not about going somewhere and signing someone up, you know. Hey, my name's Joy. Here's what I'm doing. Now let's complete an application. You're exactly. I appreciate you sharing that piece, because that is what this business is about: building relationships first, and then business second. So thank you, Joy. Appreciate that. Sorry to get off track, everyone.
I just wanted to say I took a Melvin's opinion. I mean, Melvin's teaching and your teaching about if I don't have something to give them, I want to give them something. So I give them something that they can take with them and grow.
Awesome. That is fabulous. And you're following the philosophy of the science of getting rich by delivering more value than the monetary, the cash value that you're looking to be compensated with. So great job. Star 6, who else wants to jump out?
Morning, Paul. This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, I heard an analogy a while back that negative people can be like crabs. If you ever been crab fishing and you take crabs and you got a basket there and you're dropping them down in the basket, well, the whole time they're trying to climb out of that basket, and one will get up close to the top, and the other crabs will reach up there and grab him and pull him back down. And a lot of people are like that. They don't want to see you successful, and they want to put the negative back in your life. And as you start climbing out of that hole, they're going to reach up there and try to pull you back down. So you just got to get away from the negative people. And you know, it's like I said a couple weeks ago, I put a post on Facebook, you know, if you're negative, I can't have you in my life anymore. I love you, but you got to go. And that's the way you have to do the negative people.
Absolutely. Really appreciate that analogy. It's a good one, and it's so true. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, is Greg Stadler still on the line?
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, go ahead, Melvin.
What he just said was so profound, and I've gone through this, and a lot of people might not like hearing it, but, you know, if your arm gets gangrene, you know, as much as you've loved your arm and as much as it's meant to you, you better cut it off, because it that goes with relationships too. That can even go with a marriage. That can go with anything. And you get to a point to where if a person is negative and they stay that way and you've grown outside of that, you need to cut it off. Back to you.
Absolutely. Star 6, who else wants to come out? Would love to hear. Today's Friday. We kind of decided that maybe Friday would be a little bit of an open line. So if you want to talk about anything that we've discussed this week, any breakthroughs that you've had, I'll tell you, I had a really great breakthrough. I had a few actually this week from the things that I've learned on this call. So would love to hear your thoughts, folks. Star 6, to unmute your line.
Well, hey, good morning. How you doing?
Go ahead. Oh, this is John from Chicago.
Hey, John. Good morning. Welcome
to
the call.
Thanks.
Great.
You know, one thing I love about this chapter is that it talked about efficient action. And one of the things that we always do is get ready to commence to start and never really do anything. You know, we go through all these mental jumping jacks. But the one thing I found is that all-out massive action and income-producing activity is what will get you moving forward. A lot of times we don't think about what we need to do to produce income, and it's the income-producing activity that's going to make the difference from where we are today and where we're going. Back to you.
Yeah, John, thank you for sharing that. And I'm excited to hear from Doc Fran, but before Doc Fran, let me share just one thing. Greg Stadler, I was wondering if he was on the line. He called me up the other day, and he's like, Paul, I got an email from a seven-figure earner who was sharing his secret to making a lot of money in network marketing. And I said, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, do you want to know what it said? I said, sure. And he said, step one, make a list. Step two, call the people on the list. Step three, introduce your business. Step four, follow up. Step five, get your support team involved. This is a seven-figure earner. This is his secret to success in network marketing. And I was like, well, yeah, that's it right there. So, Doc Fran, welcome to the call.
Well, thanks. You know, I'm sitting here absolutely in bliss. And I have gotten so much out of these calls. And everyone is so spot on. There's really nothing to add or to embellish, because every person is speaking truth with such clarity this morning. And the only thing, that last comment you made stimulates me to reflect on the reality that how often is it that the very simplest truths and the very simplest actions carry with them the most profound benefits? Back to you, Paul.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so true, Doc. And, you know, the question is, some people might say, well, I've done that before and I didn't see success. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between a Doc Fran who does that and sees success and somebody else who does that and doesn't see success? It's what Wallace Wattles is talking about in this chapter. There is action, and then there is efficient action. And any action is better than no action, so don't wait until you know everything to start taking action, because you learn as you take action. But do learn as you take action. Do look at a Doc Fran and say, well, gosh, why is this guy making the list and talking to the people and people are joining and it's not happening for me? Well, obviously, Doc Fran is maybe doing a better job at the approach and peak interest phase, or maybe Doc Fran is doing a better job at having a relationship that has value with the person, where the person really feels like they want to be associated with a Doc Fran and learn from him and be in business with him. Maybe he's doing a better job at the follow-up. Okay, I mean, these are really important things to look at, and they are simple. They're very simple. But we sometimes are still confused. We think that there are some secret formula out there, and there is a secret formula, but the secret is the formula is not so secret. It's in the book Think and Grow Rich. It's in these principles and truths that we're talking about. And guess what? We're not selling these. These are all free. I mean, that's what I love about this call is we come together as entrepreneurs and we share truths and principles with each other, and we all grow and learn and understand how to better impact the world. And we're not charging for this stuff. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. So thank you, Doc Fran. Really love you and appreciate you.
Well, thanks, Paul. You know the feeling's mutual for you and for all the people in our extended families here.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
You know, there's something that applies to what you just said. One person can go and they can cast their line out and catch a fish. And someone else can think, well, I'm going to go ahead and do exactly what they did, and they do it, and they don't catch a fish. And they can keep on doing it and not catch a fish. And basically, the difference is the one person casting their line, that's all they have to do. The other person needs to take time. They're going to have to chip through the ice. They're going to have to make some space. And then they could finally catch their fish. So they may be doing the same thing, but they got a lot more crap to go through before they arrive at that point to where they can do the same thing and it works for them like the other person who's already gone through that. Back to you, Paul.
It's a great point, Melvin. The law of the harvest, I feel, applies in everything that we do, and we can't cheat it. If we haven't taken the time to plant and cultivate, we can't expect a harvest faster than somebody else who has taken that time and taken that care to go through that period of growth. So let's definitely not be frustrated with ourselves. Let's understand that we're engaging in the law of the harvest, and it might take a little bit longer for some than it will for others.
Hey, Paul.
Yes. Hey, Evan. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm surprised you haven't talked about Jim Rohn yet, but he says you need to plan your day before on paper before you actually do it. You know, and then plan your week, plan your month, plan your year. It says write it all down, plan it out before it actually happens. And it's one of the keys to organization success in my mind is that if you don't have a plan, if you don't set that sail, you don't know where you're going to go.
It's a great, thank you, Evan. Great thoughts. That's a skill that I am not proficient at quite yet, but know that it's so important and excited that you've threw that out there. It's very, very important. Which actions are we going to do?
Hey, Paul. Mike.
Mike Paul.
Yes, Mike.
Hey, what Evan just said, and I love Yogi Berra just cracks me up. One of his quotes is, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up somewhere else.
I love it.
If you don't have a major definite purpose backed by the burning desire for its fulfillment, where are you going to end up? The same place you started.
Absolutely. I love it. That's
Brilliant.
A great quote. Thank you, Mike. Yes.
Unbelievable. I got three words for you guys. Three words. And those three words are preparation, reflection, and application. I learned that from John Maxwell about 3 years ago, and I'm refining that every single day. Reflection. He said, turns experience into insight. It's not about somebody who's seen people reach the age of 65, and they're not getting any better. He said, it's not the people who are actually who you think are the smartest people, but he said the people who reflect on their past errors and mistakes. Reflection, he said, turns your experience into insight. And that is so prevalent in our society, it's not even funny. He talks about preparation. You guys touched on preparation and preparing. You see, yesterday is gone. So if you had done what you're supposed to do today and focus on what you have to do today and not tomorrow, you would have had excellent yesterday. You see? And he said, what you learned, the information, are you applying it? You want to know who, how can I use this information? Who needs to know this information? And he goes on to say, those are some of the three most powerful things, words that you can use to really propel yourself to where you want to go. And I live by those words, man. I'm telling you every day I'm getting better. Every day I'm seeking to get better. And if you keep seeking to get better, you're going to get better. Everything starts out difficult before it becomes easy. We all created equal. You gotta believe in that. If you don't believe that, you're going to have a problem. If you have a slight doubt in your mind about that, you're going to have a problem.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, Melvin, let me get one thing real quick. Preparation, reflection, and what was the last one, Rick?
Application.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That thing on preparation is so key that he's speaking of. It's like one of the reasons that so many people that we introduce to our programs, they can't make it because there's no preparation. So what you're offering is an opportunity, but it's not an opportunity to someone that's not ready for it. An opportunity is only something that you're prepared for. And so if you have not prepared yourself, when it comes along, it's going to go right by you because there was not the preparation. And I'm talking about something as simple as having enough confidence in yourself and being able to speak to people. And so therefore, oftentimes we need to find someone who's bringing the right stuff to the table, that they've experienced it or gone through it with something else, to where this they're already prepared for this. And the others that we bring aboard, they're going to have to either start paying the price and becoming prepared for the opportunity that's now been presented to them. So that preparation is major. Back to you.
I got to throw out a Jim Rohn quote for Evan, since he mentioned no Jim Rohn, and it applies directly to what we're talking about here. Jim Rohn said, to generate economic success, you have to bring value to the marketplace, but you also must be valuable to the marketplace. So it's not enough that the opportunity or the program or the project that you have is so valuable. I mean, I'll tell you that, and this isn't a pitch, but I feel that the program that I'm in is so valuable to the marketplace, but that's not enough. I also have to be in a position where I can explain it and share my passion and help others see the light bulbs turn on in their head. I've got to have some of that value myself. It's not enough to just bring value. You have to be valuable, and that's where that preparation that Rick and that Melvin are talking about is so key. Star 6, who's
morning,
next?
Paul, this is Dana.
Hey, Dana, good morning.
Good morning to you. On a lighter note, Lon, you invited Doc Fran to speak. I thought he was going to ask us who won't be fasting this morning instead of listening to the call.
He would say that again. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was, in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon makes a statement that under the sun, and the principles that are being discussed and thinking grow rich, as well as the science of getting rich, are very similar. And we have a decision to make to either adopt those principles into our lives and be blessed, or we can choose to think that there's some newfangled way that we can achieve riches and find some other way to get to that spot. And that usually implies that there's going to be failure. So when we get on this call every morning, those principles are being reassured in our minds, and we are being built up by them so that we can obtain success. And it's an absolute blessing to hear everybody in consort this morning pretty much saying the same things. And so that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Dana. I really appreciate your insight and your affirmation of the truth. Really appreciate that.
Paul, this is Doc Fran.
Good morning again, Doc Fran.
You know, I'm just moved to appreciate everything that people say on the call. And one thing, I mean, I am very gratified that so many of you find value in my teaching or in my words, in my training, et cetera. And it's very humbling to realize, you know, the impact that each of us can have. And I just want to reinforce in everyone that the only reason that any of us look up to another person and appreciate positive characteristics in their beingness, in this case, leadership or whatever, is because you yourselves are reflecting on that capability within yourself. The only reason you can recognize attributes in another individual, positive or negative, is because it resonates with behavior within you that you see and know. And so it is humbling and it is fun, and it's not a surprise because we have such an assembly of true leaders, particularly the ones that make the commitment to be up every morning at anywhere from 6 to 9 a.m. To be on this call. That is a hallmark of a leader. It's the hallmark of a committed person. And I truly appreciate the ability to be of influence on your thinking and your success. So back to you, Paul.
And if I may follow with Dr. Fran and just say that the most valuable thing there is nothing more valuable. A lot of us don't recognize it and we waste it, but it's our time. It makes no difference how much money you got or how much fame. You know, when it's over, it's time that you wish you still had. And so just to go back on what Doc Fran just said, to get up and give an hour of your time to be on this call, it would have to truly be of something of great value and something really to be appreciated and worthy of. And so myself, I'm delighted to be a part of it. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. I'm getting a lot. I actually this morning opened up my journal, and I'm taking notes. When I hear some truth or I hear something that is just profound, which I've heard many things on today's call from many of you, I'm writing it down. And that is one way that we can, you know, Jim Rohn's really big on keeping a journal. And Rick Martin today talked about reflection. That's one of the things that we can be better reflectors is have a journal with you that when you hear a nugget, when you hear Doc Fran say something that you're like, wow, that is powerful. That really resonates with me. Write it down. And at the end of the day, try this. This is a skill I'm trying to learn. At the end of the day, sit down, maybe before you go to bed, open up your journal and just reflect on the truths that you pulled from that day. You know, Jim Rohn says most people are just trying to get through the day. Here's what I want to challenge you to do, get from the day. And that's one of the things we can do while being on this call is try to just pull those out and write them down and treasure them so that they'll be yours. Anyone else? Star six.
Yeah, Paul, I'm going to jump in here again because what you just said is so profound. And if you're not doing that, you're making a major mistake. To hear you come back and say something like when I said does not compute, and you could come back and make the statement about and when someone says something you like, you said thank you, would like more. For you to remember that, for you to grab a hold of all these little things, whether you're these little jewels and pearls, whether you're writing them down or keeping them in your mind, to be able to have that in your inventory, to be able to go back and grab hold of, that is so profound. So beautiful thought, beautiful statement you just made.
Thank you, Melvin. Yes, Ernie.
Paul, North Carolina.
Hey, hey, Ernie.
Thank you, my Think and Grow Rich family. I would like to use the word beacon in two contexts. We as an enlightened people have the ability to go out and radiate our mentality to those who are lost in this world just as if a lighthouse to someone coming into shore. And the second way I would like to use the word beacon is the average person that we approach, their life is so restricted by a beacon score, which tells them their ability to go out and prosper in this world. And they, whenever they find their beacon score has got them restricted from prospering, we have to be able to approach these gentlemen and these women and enlighten them of their own self-worth and to not let the world put a value on them because of the material things that they can obtain because of their beacon score, but the actual self-value of the things they have within themselves, the ability to see, for instance. So we have to be able to go out as a beacon of light, as enlightened people, and help them to realize their own self-worth and their own ability. And by us being of an enlightened mind, we have to go out and be an example and as a leader. And that's what we have to do in this industry, to either be a leader or a follower. And that's the first thing to put on your list, to decide to be a leader or a follower. And once you decide to be a leader, you will find people to follow you by continuing in your efforts to study and grow as a person, not just in the industry and in happy and prosperous. So this is my statement as far as the word beacon. Let's go out and be a beacon of light to all those who are lost and seek in a better way and show them by example that we have found the virtue within ourselves that we can radiate to them and show them a better way.
So profound, Ernie. I really appreciate those thoughts. You my friend, thank you. Thank you for that. Beacon, I'm writing that word down. Who else? Star six.
Good morning, Paul. This is Marlies.
Hi, Marlies.
I thank gosh with all the wonderful, wise men speaking again this morning. Thought it's time to have another female also had a little bit yet. But it is just so, again, so profound, so wise, all the wonderful words of encouragement, of wisdom, of empowerment. And gosh, and to be filled up with that and start the day, I mean, we are just so blessed, aren't we, to have access to that and to know that this is something we can share with everyone. I just wanted to make two quick points, one which has to do with also organization. In the other company, we actually had a little pad and said the six most important things list of the 1,000 things we need to do. There are six that are the most important. And the main thing is that you want to be sure by the end of the day that you can at least accomplish those and don't worry about any of the others. I'm still practicing that. It seems that the six most important things list always seems to be a lot longer, but it's definitely worthwhile to learn that or practice that. And then it has another thing has to do as far as relationships and also how do we keep positive in such a negative world. And one of the things that I know I learned and I've been then also sharing with my people was that if you start out in this business or any, well, we are in the network marketing business, and I was in another one before too, but it is about building relationships. But more so what Ernie was pointing out, I find it is the most incredible, most wonderful way for us to be able to grow spiritually, personally, and mentally in all ways as a person so we can be the beacons of light. That, to me, is always the biggest vision that I hold for everyone. And for us to be that kind of beacon, of course, we need to protect ourselves. And so the first thing, without being afraid to really, for us to be able to make that list and see who are the people in my life right now among relatives and or loved ones or friends or coworkers who make me feel good, who are uplifting, who are positive, who encourage me. And you want to put a plus next to those people. And the others where, you know, you always feel drained and they take from you. They are, you know, your energy robbers. Put a minus. And, of course, if they're the people who are right in your life, and you cannot just divorce them, so to speak, but you can speak with them. And you can say, look, I have decided now to really change my life. I want to live a happier, a more positive, a more successful life. And in order for me to do that, I'm only allowed to really accept positive thoughts and also positive people. And I just find sometimes we are conversing and listening to you that you're not always positive. And I just want to point out to you that I just let you know ahead of time, if for whatever reason you just are negative or you want to bring me down or for whatever reason, I'm just going to either hang up on you or I just turn around. But I'm not going to listen to that. And I find when we are honest with these people and tell them to, I love you, I really love you, and I want you to know this is not just for my own protection, but I know that this is also going to help you to be aware of this. And in this way, I find we are not, we are being honest, but at the same time, we are giving them permission to also think about it and to be able to grow and to learn if they choose so, but not to give them permission to constantly put us down or to make us feel badly. We don't have to. We have that choice. We don't have to put up with that. So this can be also very helpful, and I just wanted to add that yet. And thank you, everyone else. You're just so incredible, and I just left listening to everyone's comments.
Marlies, thank you so much for sharing those thoughts. I know that what you said resonated with many people, especially Melvin. I'm sure Melvin has been teaching me that we need to be honest with people, and what you shared is definitely something I need to work on. Rather than just cutting people out of your life altogether, use it as an opportunity to be honest with them and maybe as an opportunity to help them grow as well. That's a powerful, powerful tip. Thank you, Marlies.
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hi, this is Joe from New York. How are you guys?
Hey, Joe, doing great. How are you?
Very good, very good. This is my second day on this call, and I got to tell you, yesterday I was so enlightened by what everybody was saying. I just had to say something today, you know. I'm a martial artist. I'm a martial arts instructor, and I really live by the philosophy of the martial artist, like Miyamoto Musashi. He stated one time that at the beginning, everything is hard. And it is only when you dedicate yourself to a higher purpose is when you can actually feel fulfillment within yourself. And I took that to say, well, I want to make a lot of money, but I don't want to do it myself, for myself. I want to do it for other people. And, it's just so profound how when you think about something and you want to change your life, how hard it is. And the reason why it's hard is because people have habits that they are used to. People have these things that they like to do or the things they have to do. Like, I got to get to work. I have to do this. But if you don't like what you're doing, then change it. What happens is the mind kind of goes back to what's comfortable rather than something new that could actually benefit themselves. And that's why I think as a martial artist, I have a lot to offer humanity. Because I've been through, like, for white belt to black, all the pain and the exercising and everything that I've done, that how can I keep all of that knowledge that I've gotten of how to be a better spiritual person, how to be a better giver? It wouldn't be right to keep it. And I got to tell you, you guys on this phone call is profoundly fantastic, and more people should be on this. I mean, people should just get their head out of what they have been doing and get into your guys' heads, and the amount of change that could happen is fantastic. I just got to thank you guys.
Thank you, Joe. Really, really appreciate those comments. So excited that you stepped out and shared that insight with us, and welcome to the group. We're really excited that you've joined us.
Hey, Paul. Scott Dietler.
Yeah. Hey, Scott.
Hey, I just wanted to give my call testimony and, it's been just a little over a month since I found these calls. The thing that happened, I was working as a contractor before this with somebody and had a nail go through my foot, and then, you know, a couple days later I got laid off. So I just got sick of all that, and I was searching for something. I was praying for something, because the company I was in before this was just wasn't working for me. And I didn't know what the problem was. I was searching for something really bad. You know, I was praying about it. I'm like, man, I got to find something. And all of a sudden, one day, one of your posts on Facebook stuck out about these calls. And I just want to say that since I've been on them now, just a little over a month, I think I missed one live call. And when I missed that one live call, my day didn't seem the same, because these calls give me a sense of accountability. It makes me feel like I have to be accountable to everybody that gets on these calls too, even though, you know, not everybody here is in the same business. But, and then it was shortly after getting on these calls that this new business found me. And in the last 30 days, my first 30 days, I'm just blown away, man. And these calls are just, Everybody should be on these calls and hear these. You know, I'm trying to spread the word as much as I can, and I love it. Love you guys. This is just amazing. All right, that's all I got. Thanks.
Scott, man, we love you. Love your excitement, your enthusiasm. Thank you so much for sharing that. Really appreciate you.
And Paul, if I just may say, I appreciate what he's saying, and we all should be spreading the word and letting as many people know about this as possible. I wish I had something like this when I was younger. And yes, we are all in the same business, and that's the business of life, and that's what this call is about. This is more about, this far exceeds just the businesses that we're in, and I'm glad so many of you are starting to see it and appreciate it, and I'm delighted to be a part of it.
Feeling awesome. Thank you, Melvin. Thank you, everybody. I'll tell you, we have. I'm humbled. I stand in awe at the amount of wisdom that we have on this call cumulatively. And wow, where are we all going to be 6 months, a year, 5 years from now? It really staggers the imagination to even think of it. So I want to thank everyone for your contribution. Thanks, everyone, for a great week. And let us please take Ernie's advice. Let us go out today, my friends, and let us be a beacon to those around us. That's what this call is all about. It's about us developing the light that is in deep inside of us and letting that light radiate so that we can be a beacon to those around us and make the world a better place. I love each of you. I believe in each of you. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Make it a great day, everyone.